Lesson number three, lecture number three. What next? Today we're going to talk about the tribulation. Last week I read you a scripture about the fact that there's going to be sicknesses and plagues. In fact, we read the story from Sister Padma, what's going on there. Well, you may want to know that there's a plague in Madagascar. I got this information October 7, 2017. How many of you remember the bubonic plague at 15th century? Okay. Do you know that it's broken out in Madagascar? And it's now spreading pneumonically, which is, means it's through the air. Initially it was spread through fleas and rats biting people. The countries that are now affected, and if you know anything about Africa, you'll recognize these countries. Of course, Madagascar, South Africa, right at the tip, Mozambique, and then the beautiful islands, Reunion, Mauritius, Seychelles, all of those islands, then Tanzania, Kenya, and Ethiopia are all being affected. Two out of three, 60% of the people are actually getting it demonically. So it's being passed through the air. They're not getting bitten by fleas or rats. You get flu-like symptoms. Your lymph nodes grow up like tennis balls under your arm and in the groin area. Very painful. It's also very deadly. You'll see the results so far at 100 deaths out of 1,200 cases. All right, so let's now talk about what Jesus said is going to happen. And what did he prophesy about the Great Tribulation? Now, remember, the Great Tribulation or the Tribulation period starts after the rapture. Okay, so we're talking about these 7 years. We'll get to the overhead for the diagram as we go along. But I want to pick up Jesus teaching his disciples in Matthew 24, verse 9. And he said to them, "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death." Say what? All right, I'm looking for somebody else to follow. Yeah, well, 3 years was good. Good while it lasted. Enjoyed the fish and the walking on the water. All those kind of things, but not so much. "And you will be hated by all nations because of me," because of Jesus, "you will be hated. And at that time," what time? In the tribulation period after the rapture has occurred. "In that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other." So let me explain. Because some of you are thinking, but wait, didn't we all go with the rapture? Who are these people falling away from the faith? I'm glad you asked the question. Immediately after the rapture, anybody who's sitting in this church today who remains will be part of this group. And what is going to happen is that millions of people will turn to Jesus in that week of the rapture because they would have heard about it. There would be conspiracy theories that maybe it was the rapture, maybe it was aliens. It will be tried to explain away, okay? But there will be a large number of left behind Christians who will know that it was the rapture, because when they call to speak to Pastor Henry at the Promised Church, they're going to get a disengaged signal. And maybe they will try and reach you. And for days, you won't answer your phone. And they will begin to panic. And they will fall on their knees. Some of them will anyway. And then there's the group of left behind Christians who will be so mad because they thought they should have been taken. They thought they were okay. And that once they had made the confession as a child or had been baptized or whatever it was, or had church membership, that they qualified. And suddenly they feel, God has left me. Why would he left me? Why am I unworthy? Why would God do this to me? And some of them, instead of turning to Jesus, will actually turn against God and will hate him for having left them behind. At the same time, you'll have a great revival and a great falling away. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
All right. And that's why it says many will turn from the faith. Because they were thought they were in the faith, and they might have a kind of a relationship with God, but nothing serious, you know, not a deep, deep relationship with Him, not a daily relationship anyway. You know, maybe Christmas and Easter was enough to go to church. Well, the rapture's going to happen between them. Just saying. Now, immediately after the rapture, Jesus says many false prophets will appear. It's obviously going to be a breeding ground for prophets, will it not? And they will deceive a few people. How many?
Many.
Many are going to be deceived. Because at that time, people that will be desperate will want to hear anything that's going to happen. But because of the increase of wickedness, the increase, ever say increase?
Increase.
Of wickedness. Why would there be an increase of wickedness or lawlessness? Because the salt and the light is gone. Jesus said, you're the salt and you're the light of the world. And if the salt loses its saltiness, then there's nothing to preserve, nothing to keep. You see, the believers at the moment are the ones who are keeping this earth in the condition. We are the ones that are fighting against the political stuff and the laws that are going on. Do you understand that? All right. We're the ones resisting. Now imagine, suddenly we're gone. And they can do whatever they want to do. The righteous ones are gone. And so suddenly there's going to be an increase of lawlessness and wickedness. And because of this, there's no limits. There's no boundaries. There's no conscience. Las Vegas mass shootings will be the order of the day. It will be commonplace. No conscience. Jesus then said, the love of most, not just a few, the love of most will grow cold. Now, here the interesting thing is, he's speaking about the love for God. The love for God. So he's talking about a massive falling away. And if time permits, I'm not sure, you know, the next 15 weeks or so I might get to it. The book of Thessalonians tells us there's going to be a massive falling away just before the Antichrist is revealed. So there's going to be the love of many, of most, is going to grow cold. The love towards God is going to grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. One who stands firm from here, to the end, will be saved. Got it? Jesus said it. It's not my words. He said, if you stand firm to the end, you'll be saved. And Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Everybody say, and then the end will come. Amen. Now, do you remember when we were reading last week, Jesus said, these are the beginning of birth pangs, yes, but the end is not yet. Remember that?
Yes.
But now he said, the end will come. Do you understand now? He said, it's not yet. Now he's saying it is yet. This is yet. It's the end of the 7 years. That is when the end comes, right there, that he's talking about. And a complete new dispensation begins at the 1,000-year millennium reign of Jesus on the earth. So this is the end. This is where there's a whole lot of judgment going to take place. That's the end. So this is the thing I often get told. But you know, the gospel hasn't been preached to every corner of the earth, so Jesus can't come back. False doctrine. He didn't say that. Jesus did not say the gospel has to be preached to every nation and then the rapture. He did not say that. That's what people think, but he didn't say that. He said, and then the end. Prior to this, he said, that's not the end. Now he's saying this is the end. So during this 7-year period, the gospel is going to be preached dramatically. Now, as we approach this period, as we approach the end of the church age and we come towards the tribulation period, we're going to see the events of the tribulation bleeding in to this. We're going to begin experiencing what's going to be happening in the tribulation period, but not to the extent. Okay? Not to the extent. But we will see it. We will absolutely feel what is going to happen. as we approach it, we will see Christians being persecuted politically, financially, physically. And that will gain momentum because it's going to happen strongly in this period. So it's going to gain momentum. In this period, listen to me now, listen carefully. Parents will turn against their children, and children will turn against their parents and turn them into the authorities so that they can be killed. When the parent tries to witness to the child about Jesus, that child will go and turn them into the authorities and vice versa. And the family unit is going to be torn apart. Do I have scripture for this? Yes. Matthew 10:21. Jesus is teaching. Brother will betray brother. That's not talking about brothers in Christ. Will betray them to death, and father his children. Children will rebel against their parents. We're asking, is it happening now? Yep. Children rebelling already. Against their parents and have them put to death. Parents will be turned into the authorities by children who think they're doing God's work. And all men will hate you because of me. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you're persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going to the cities of Israel. So he's talking to the Jews before the Son of Man comes. Son of Man comes, this is what he's talking about here. So flee persecution. Folks, you're aware of this. Witnessing at work is unacceptable. You could lose your job. You told to be quiet if you won't. Lose your job. Yeah? All right. Praying publicly, certainly in government-sponsored organizations, facilities, and so on, strictly forbidden, especially using the name of Jesus. Okay? All right. So what is at stake is freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is necessary to preach the gospel. Have you noticed what's going on in our nation right now? There's a move politically against freedom of speech on which this nation was founded. And why do you think that's happening? You think it's just the children, the youngsters at university have nothing better to do? No, it's a satanic move to shut down the preaching of the gospel, to make it illegal to preach the gospel, for which you will be put in prison or executed. You got some good news for us this morning? Not really. We're out of here. That's good news. It's happening everywhere. It's happening on every area and arena of our lives already. Here's a couple, Christian couple, filmmakers. All right, put a picture of them up, please. Carl and Angel Larson, they're Bible-believing Christians. And they have a passion for marriage and for making movies. And so they own a video film production company. And they want to tell stories about great marriages that honor God. That's what their plan is. So, but before they could launch out and make their first movie about weddings and all this kind of stuff, they ran into an obstacle. And this obstacle is a speech coercing state law that mandates that if you're going to make movies about man and a woman getting married and having a great time, you know where I'm going, then you have to create films celebrating same-sex marriage and give equal time to both. So they said, we're not going to do it. So then they were told that this is the penalty for doing it, $25,000 if you go ahead, or 90 days in prison, state law. So they decided they were going to go ahead and go to court anyway. And that's where they are at the moment. And they are being defended by an organization, actually, that Pastor Cindy found this information. One of the Christian attorneys that she knows is actually defending them, their whole organization. So they decided that they're going to assert the constitutional right before it is, in fact, taken away, not afterwards. But it sounds like it might already have gone. So they want to defend our freedom, and you know what? Everybody should be able to work according to their own conscience, don't you think? Yeah, I think so. All right, let's show you the timeline one more time as we jump right into the tribulation period. Again, this is what's on the board. It's up there for you to see. So the tribulation period begins at the time of the rapture. This first portion of the tribulation is actually not referred to as the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation is the latter 42 months. It's during this period of time that the Antichrist becomes a world ruler, and there's a one world government that is put in place. And as I said, it's divided into two periods of 42 months each, or the Bible actually gives it dates as 1260 days. I don't have time to give it in to break it up for you, but the Bible days is actually 30 days per month, not what we use as 31 or 30 days. During this time, and we're going to focus on it today, the control of the world's population. This is what we're going to be looking at today. We're going to get to Revelation chapter 13, and we're going to be looking at the persecution of Christians during this time, and we're going to focus on that, and also that there's the mark of 666 that the Antichrist enforces everybody to put on their forehead or on their right hand. If you don't know this, the book of Revelation has the initial thing that happens in the book of Revelation is that there are seven seals that are opened. Jesus opens the seven seals. Then there are seven trumpets that blow after the seven seals. And then there are seven bowls that are poured out upon the earth. And each one of those has tremendous consequences to the earth. And you go and read book of Revelations and you'll see what happens. The very first seal that is opened by Jesus in the beginning of the tribulation period is the release of the Antichrist into the earth. And he comes as a white horse, riding a white horse. He has a bow, no arrow. So he speaks of deception. He's not Jesus at all. All right. Now, during the seven-year period, Christians, people will get born again during this period. In fact, billions will get born again. So I'm just tell you, we're going to be looking at that again to show you how this happens. Some folk think that at the time of the rapture, the Holy Spirit is taken out the way. The Holy Spirit is not taken out the way. Holy Spirit remains here during the seven-year period. He has to, because he's the one who causes us to be born again. Okay? He has to be here, otherwise nobody can get born again. Because it is the work of the Holy Spirit to recreate the human spirit and make it a glorified spirit that Jesus can live in. And then the Holy Spirit comes and lives in that. Okay? All right, so you understand it's a very logical thing. The Holy Spirit is going to be here, and he's going to be doing amazing things for those people who turn to him. However, you have two options during this period. You live through the entire period, and you stand fast and stand firm, and you make it. The alternative is you die by martyrdom, all right? And you have to die by martyrdom without denouncing Jesus. If you denounce Jesus, you didn't die as a martyr. So here's the thing. Right now, as we are on the earth right now, we can choose to live for Jesus. After the rapture, your choice will be to die for him. Maybe I'll say that again. Because that one you might want to remember. You now have a choice to live for Jesus, but after the rapture, you have a choice to die for him. So, billions of people are going to get born again during this time. Jesus said, and we already read it in Matthew 24:14, he said the gospel will be preached. Did he not say that? The gospel is going to be preached throughout the whole world during this time. Now, let's pick up the book of Revelation, chapter 6, verse 9. When the Lamb, that is Jesus, broke the fifth seal. What seal? Fifth seal. So we've gone from number 1 to number 5. I saw under the altar, please say under the altar, the souls. One more time, I'm going to ask you to repeat this. I don't often do this, but I do want you to hear carefully what it just said. It said the souls. Everybody say souls. So the souls of people are under the altar. All of who had been martyred for the word of God and for being faithful to their testimony. When the fifth seal is opened by Jesus, under the altar are people, souls of people, who had to have come out of the Great Tribulation, who were martyred, and who stood faithful with their testimony. Got it? All right. So now let's read on. These people shouted to the Lord and said, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge the people who belong to this world and avenge our blood for what they have done to us? Any doubt? Then a white robe was given each of them, And they were told to rest a little longer. Just hold on, guys. Just rest a little longer. But why, Jesus? Why? Buckle up now. Hold tight. Until the full number of their brothers and sisters, that's their fellow servants of Jesus, who were to be martyred, had joined them. Jesus said there's more coming. We've got to hold tight. We're not done yet. He said, oh God, I can't believe you're allowing it. Now I want to correct your thinking. I want to show you the mercy of Jesus right now. Right now. He says, guys, there's more people that can make it to heaven if we just wait. More people can make it. People are witnessing. People are testifying. I've got the two, the two prophets down there testifying. There's 144,000 Jews. They're marked. They're testifying. The angels are going around. They're testifying. Hold tight. Hold tight. Hold tight. Let's get as many as we can. We don't want them to go to hell. The tribulation period is God's open window for those to make it to heaven and avoid hell. God's mercy right in the middle of this. Jesus says, hold tight, guys. Fast forward one more chapter, chapter 7. And now we're in verse 9. After this, John, who's in the Revelation, John sees a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language. Does that sound like it's got to every corner of the world? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. And they were clothed in white robes, and they held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a mighty shout, thank God we made it. No. That's what we're going to say when we get there, right? When we touch down in heaven, we go, whoa, that was close. A little fire here, a little fire. Psh, put that out. Hey, you're never going to see a praise party. Even P3 will pale to that. Why? Well, like, yeah, we made it. Hallelujah, we made it. Yeah, uh-huh. You're going to party like this? No, tomorrow. Because there isn't. All right. And they're shouting with a mighty shout, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne from the Lamb. And one of the 24 elders there came up to John and said to him, so who are these that are clothed in white and where do they come from? And John looks at him and says, sir, you know. So he said, these are the ones who died in the Great Tribulation. How many? A vast crowd from every nation. Too big to count. Billions of people. Billions of people from every tribe and nation in the world. This angel said, who died in the Great Tribulation. Are Christians going to be martyred in this time? If you read your Bible, the answer is yes. How many? Huge. Huge. Billions of Christians are going to be martyred and persecuted. The atrocities you can't even begin to imagine. Can't even begin. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. Let me ask you this. What is your picture of heaven? What do you think you're going to be doing when you get there? Honestly, what is the imagination that you read in the Bible that you've pictured? When I get to heaven, this is what's going to be happening. You're going to worship the Lord, right? You're going to fellowship with other people. You're going to travel around the galaxies to see what's out there. Mm-hmm. No space suit. You're going to go visit with the prophets of old. Are you not? Okay. So you're not planning on spending all of your time in the temple 24/7 serving God with a palm branch. No? These people do. Let's read. Let's read. That is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in the temple. 24/7, they're in the temple. All of the people who are martyred and make it to heaven coming out of the great tribulation will be servants in the temple. Yes, I'm happy. I'm happy to serve in the temple. When I think about hell, happy, 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 happy. Are there any other happy, happy, happy people? Be happy to serve in the temple. You got that? Happy to serve in the temple. Now, one of the most touching portions of Scripture. He who sits on the throne will give them shelter. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. For the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. You see, that's what they went through on earth prior to this. And God said, no more. Not going to happen to you again. All right? They're in heaven. Now, let's go back down into the tribulation period. And I'm going to start to show you what's coming. So, listen up. The world's population is going to be controlled by a one-world government headed up by the Antichrist. There will be no voting. This is not going to be a democracy. This is going to be a dictatorship. Okay? Now, Revelation 13:5. The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. 42 months. It's half of the tribulation period. And he opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place. They're talking about heaven and those who live in heaven. This man, the Antichrist, is actually physically possessed, not by a demon, but by Satan himself. He's the only man ever in the history of the world to be possessed by Satan. Others have been possessed by demons. But he enters in and possesses him, and he becomes this great beast. Now, to this man possessed by Satan, power was given to him to make war against the saints and to conquer them. God permits it. You understand? We've just read that the people who die are going to come to heaven if they stand. So God permits this terrible period of trial so that those who are still willing to make a decision can come to him. And actually, the people in the Revelation pray to die. And they can't die. They try to die because it's so bad. Dying is a blessing to get out of what they're going through. And he, this Antichrist, was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. How did that happen? By Satan and the people. Satan worked it, has been working it for centuries, and the people on earth relinquish the authority to him. Verse 8, all inhabitants, if we say all, all inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. You notice it said all will worship the beast? Did you get that? Yeah, well, I'm not really into worship. We'll see. No, we won't see. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the foundation or creation of the world. So there's going to be a group on this earth that will not worship the beast. I'd love to deviate and go back to the Old Testament and show you Old Testament types of exactly what happened. Nebuchadnezzar made an image. Forced everybody to worship the image. Remember that? Old Testament. And if they didn't, where did they end up in? Fire. We've got these stories in the Old Testament. They're not there just because they're stories. They're there telling us what's coming. What book of the Bible is that story in?
Daniel.
See, it's Daniel who told us about the 70th week. Just saying. I keep myself amused studying the book. Let's read on. Revelation 13:16. This Antichrist forced everyone. It's not optional. Small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. It's a man's number, and his number is 666. All right, let's talk about this one world government. I'm going to show you how this has been actually at work for some time. And, the question immediately gets asked is it plausible that there would be a one world government? Would America ever surrender nationalism to globalism? Would France ever do it? Would England do it? Would some of these great nations, would they surrender nationalism to become part of a global government? So Satan has been at work for many years, centuries, trying to bring this about, and he's used every source he could possibly do, anything he could do to make this seem an ideal way to go. This was actually popularized in 1971 by the Beatles when John Lennon sang Imagine. Imagine there are no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. I never have liked the song because it speaks about no religion. So there will be one religion, one world religion. The Antichrist will see to it that he has a false prophet, and the false prophet will see to it that there's a one world religion that everybody will be part of, and serving the Antichrist and worship the Antichrist and his false image will be part of that. You notice that in the song, there's no mention of a savior for us to live in peace. It's simply the absence of nations and religion. John Lennon said, take out nations and take out religion, you've got peace. So what this song does, it actually encapsulates the narrative that's been presented to the world today. And in fact, let's all live in harmony and peace and love and so on. From 1965 to 1980, during that period of time, some of you were alive like I was, and it was a very popular view at that time. And in fact, the universities of our great nation right now are still promoting globalism on the same basis rather than nationalism. Yeah? Yeah? No walls, no borders, all refugees are welcome. You say that's political. I'm not trying to be political. I'm just telling you what's going on. Well, what motivates them? Humanitarian needs. That's what they're moved by. So what they're saying is that the well-being of the world's people supersede the rights of any nation. That's globalism. That's the opposite to nationalism. Are we there? So along comes President Trump. Nationalist against the globalist. Hillary Clinton, she was going to open up all of the Americas, right? No walls, no boundaries. We know about this, okay? I'm not making this up. If you watch the election, then you know what I'm talking about is exact. This is the truth, okay? So what has President Trump done? He's interrupted the agenda of the globalists. He's stopped the progress of a one world government. Why do you think he's hated so much? It's because Satan is pulling his horns out. He is beside himself because he thought he had it wrapped up with another candidate. America is one of the nations that have to give way to globalism. So the media, Hollywood, big banks, big business, corporations, everybody is getting behind globalism, and everybody who's for globalism is against President Trump. Does that make it any clearer for you? Does that make it any clearer? So you don't understand what in the world is going on here. Why is everybody so angry? Because Satan is behind it. So let me show you some of the organizations that have been around for many, many years promoting the idea of globalism. We have to go back all the way to 1776. How many of you have heard about the Illuminati? The Illuminati, I went to their website. So I don't know if I'm going to be tracked, but this last week, I was on everybody's website, including Satan's. So pray for me. And if I start speaking funny, cast it out, okay? The Illuminati is an elite organization of world leaders, business authorities, innovators, artists, and other influential members of this planet. Our coalition unites influencers of all political, religious, and geographical backgrounds to further the prosperity of the human species as a whole. They have four core beliefs. One of them is called the I. Have you looked at your $1 bill? Have you seen the Illuminati eye on it? Have you wondered how it got there? Mm-hmm. And this is what it says. This core belief says, the human species, again, is guarded by a coalition of its most elite members called the Illuminati. Roll the video, please. Straight off their website. Lights down.
Fear not for your war-stricken, poverty-ridden planet. You are safe. Help is on the way. Your prosperity is the core objective of our universal design. The path for humanity has spanned throughout ages to ensure the survival and prosperity of the human species. War is a liar who claims there isn't enough land, isn't enough wealth, isn't enough food for all people, in all places to live in abundance. A different age is upon us. Fear not for the bursting sounds that echo across your red horizons. Prepare your life for the light that grows steadily brighter in the distance. As the dawn comes to rid your battlefields of darkness, the age of Illuminatium will begin. Fear nothing. We are always watching out for you. Find out more about our organization and your part in the universal design. Visit Illuminati.am.
How many of you did not know that they have a website and they advertise like that? Come on. Be honest, I'll tell them they're watching. I'll tell them. They said they're watching. In 1921, David Rockefeller formed the Council of Foreign Relations. Same thing. In 1956, the Club Bilderberg was formed, and this consists of the wealthiest, most elite people, most powerful people in the world who seek to remain anonymous, and they meet annually to plan and discuss the world events to promote globalism. In 1970, the Trilateral Commission, and I quote you from their website, while it is important to develop greater cooperation among all the countries of the world, Japan, Western Europe, and North America, in view of their great weight in the world's economy and their massive relations with each other bear a special responsibility for developing effective cooperation, both in their own interests and in those of the rest of the world. They share a number of problems which, if not solved, could cause difficulties for all. So they must make concerted efforts to deal with and to challenge the challenge of interdependence. They cannot manage separately. So the aim must be effective cooperation beneficial to all countries, whether their political systems or stages, whatever their political system or stages of development are. All right? You go to the website. Anyone I mentioned, go to the website and have a look. So now let's go to the New World Order, something that you might have heard, New World Order. It's talking about the coming ideology of a global governance. That's what it's talking about. So people who made it popular and brought it to the forefront was President Mikhail Gorbachev and George H.W. Bush. You might have been alive and heard it. I did. I actually heard it. They used the terms to define the nature of the post-Cold War era and the spirit of great power cooperation that they hoped might materialize. President Bush said, and I quote, 100 generations have searched for this elusive path to peace. One world order, new world order. While 1,000 wars raged across the span of human endeavor, today the New World Order is struggling to be born. A world quite different from the one we've known. I continue the quote. Now we can see a New World Order coming into view, a world in which there is the very real prospect of a New World Order. And he said, the Gulf War of 1991 put this New World Order to its first test. Do you remember that? Do you remember when the Gulf War occurred and the nations of the world went to it and they said this is the first New World Order war? The Pope in 1980, this is Pope John Paul, said, by the end of this decade, he was a little wrong, we'll live under the first one world government that has ever existed in the society of nations. This government will have the absolute power to decide the basic issues of survival. A one-world government is inevitable. Pope speaking to the Catholics and to anybody else who will listen. Pope Francis has promoted a one-world religion and a new world order 12 times in his speeches, just in case you aren't aware of this. Now, the technology is in place right now, and it's available at this time. It's the first time in history to actually make this become a reality. I'm talking about the control of the world's population. We all know, and we heard this in the year 2004, when the FDA approved the RFID chip, all right? And it was approved. If you don't know, it's a radio frequency identification. That's what it is, RFID, which uses electronic tags and places objects in people or animals to relay an identifying information, right? Now, this technology has been rapidly growing and being implemented and tested throughout the world. I want us to watch another video that we saw last week, but in case you weren't here, I want us to watch Regina Dugan. Please read. She's the former director of the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. This is an agency of the U.S. Department of Defense, and it's responsible for the development of emerging technologies to be used by the military. And she is currently an executive at Google. Roll the video.
A whole variety of options for how you could do better at authentication. So you can start with nearer-term things like tokens or fobs that might have NFC or Bluetooth embedded in them. But you can also think about a means of authentication that you could simply wear on your skin every day for a week at a time, say an electronic tattoo. Now, we're talking about wearables. Everybody's interested in wearables. I'm profoundly interested in wearables. And what I will tell you is that we've made a lot of advances in wearables, but there's still some fundamental problems that we haven't solved. Like one of them is the mechanical mismatch between humans and electronics, right? So electronics are boxy and rigid, humans are curvy and soft. That's a mechanical mismatch problem. Well, A researcher at the University of Illinois, his name is Dr. Rogers, what he discovered is that he could use standard CMOS techniques to make islands of high-performance silicon connected by accordion-like structures that would allow it to stretch up to 200% and still be performing. And what he did is he founded a company, and they started making electronic tattoos. So I'm wearing one here on my arm.
Do we have a camera to get a...
This is a developmental system made by MC10, and it has an antenna and some sensors embedded in it. And what we plan to do is work with them to advance a tattoo that could be used for authentication. Now, it may be true that 10 to 20-year-olds don't want to wear a watch on their wrist, but you can be sure that they'll be far more interested in wearing an electronic tattoo, if only to piss off their parents. Right?
And that can have a design, right? Because
sure.
They would certainly want some kind of cool design.
Options, right? Options. And that's something that you wear, but you could also imagine including authentication in just your daily habits. So I take a vitamin every morning. What if I could take vitamin authentication?
What?
Vitamin authentication. Look, I have one right here. Well, here, I'll let you hold it. Would you like to hold it?
I'll hold it.
Okay. So this...
You guys see it?
This pill has a small chip inside of it with a switch. It also has what amounts to an inside-out potato battery. When you swallow it, the acids in your stomach serve as the electrolyte.
That's what they do.
And they power it up, and the switch goes on and off. And it creates an 18-bit ECG-like signal in your body, and essentially your entire body becomes your authentication token. Yes, this is true. Okay, so wait. So it's really true. So what this means is that that becomes my first superpower. I really want this superpower. It means that my arms are like wires. My hands are like alligator clips. When I touch my phone, my computer, my door, my car, I'm authenticated in. First superpower. Like, I want that.
So we're not shipping that right away.
Yeah, no. We're not shipping that right away. But it sounds
This is FDA cleared?
So here's the thing. This is not science fiction. This pill was actually made by a company called Proteus, and they've developed it for medical applications. That pill has been CE stamped and cleared by the FDA. You can take 30 of those per day for the rest of your life.
And then what happens? Does your heart beat change? Does your...
We can just tell that you've taken the pill. I mean, the medical
application... Yeah.
The medical application...
Does Google now know everything I do and everywhere I go? Because, let's face it, you guys, but you're from Google.
Just give him some water and let him take
right
now.
Thanks.
Maybe Dennis. Dennis, let me ask you. Does Larry make you take one of these?
It's optional.
Optional.
So we actually have demoed this working and authenticating a phone.
Yeah.
So, let me go to the next person, Raymond Ray Kurzweil. He's an American author, computer scientist, inventor, and futurist. He has received, in 1999, a National Medal of Technology and Innovation, United States' highest honor in technology presented to him by President Clinton in the White House ceremony. In the year 2002, he was inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame. This is established by the U.S. Patent Office. He has received 21 honorary doctorates and honors from 3 U.S. presidents. Kurzweil is described as a relentless genius by the Wall Street Journal and the ultimate thinking machine by Forbes. This is a somebody. You get it from that?
Yeah.
All right, let's watch him talk for a few minutes.
Realistic. The idea that we're merging with AI is not some concept in the future. It's happening now. When I say that your smartphone is an extension of you and that you can't do your work without it, and if you leave it at home, you can't really function fully intelligently, people really accept that today. Even just a few years ago, that did not seem realistic. That seemed like a very futuristic concept. It's already happened. We're already dependent on this technology. Nobody can do their work or get their education without these brain extenders we have now. And we're much more intimate with them. We do all kinds of intimate work on them, and we carry them in our pockets When I was a student at MIT, I had to take my bicycle to get to the one computer on campus. And they're going to go inside our bodies and brains. I mean, I actually swallowed a computer a few weeks ago that went through my body and did some diagnostic work. It came out good. That we're going to increasingly merge with these technologies. They will go inside our brains. They'll connect our brain to the cloud. We'll have direct connection, and not just to do things like search and translate, but to actually extend the power of our thinking and give us more neocortical modules and more hierarchy to our neocortex, which will make us smart.
Going to go inside your brain. And we're not talking about an idiot. Huh? We're talking about somebody who's super, super intelligent and who's got all these doctorates and who's highly recognized. So let's talk a little bit about biometric technology. And I'm going to give you a quick list of some of the biometric technology that will be used to play a major role in the world population being authenticated and being identified during this period. All right? Well, here we go. A DNA matching. All right? You recognize this as we go. You know, ear identification of an individual using the shape of the ear is actually unique. The eyes, we all know about the eyes, iris recognition. What about retina recognition as well? Facial recognition. In fact, the new Apple phone 10 is going to use or has got facial recognition on it for security purposes, and they've said that it's going to be much safer because the chance of hacking goes from 1 in 50,000 up to 1 in a million. Yay, so we want to have facial recognition on our phones. Fingerprint recognition. For those ladies who use the ITAN company, you use your finger when you go in. For your finger recognition, they use that. That's how you get the ITAN, right? Finger geometry recognition. The gait behavior, the way you walk, can be biometrically measured. Hand geometry recognition. This is something that is used at many hospitals right now. In fact, if you go to the Green Hospital down in San Diego, the first time you go, they'll have you put your hand in, and they will take a picture of your hand and then match it to all of your personal data. Thereafter, when you go to check in, you don't have to give any information. You slip your hand into a little thing, and it measures. How many have been there and done it? Anybody? It's a whole bunch of people got their hands up. All right. So it's a thing that's already in process. It's already happening. It's not something that's going to happen sometime in the future. Then there's odor. Yeah, that would be easy to recognize. Then there's a signature recognition. Then there's typing recognition. Then there's vein recognition. What is vein recognition? This is identification based on the person's vein patterns in your fingers. You put them in. That reads the veins and can use that to identify who you are. Then there's voice speaker recognition and also voice speaker identification, two different things. Many of you have on your phones right now, you have an app that tells you where your family are and friends or other people. You have it on your phone right now. So there's a way that you can track other people. Facebook uses facial recognition, and they can tell who you are anywhere in the world instantly that you log on. All right. Now, the question is, why would people be so readily, go ahead, put the mark on me. Why would they do that? So, I was watching the news after the Houston flood, and it was horrific, and I was very moved by it. But then I heard something that really shocked me, because FEMA said this to all the victims of the Houston flood. If you would register at a FEMA office online or whatever it is, within the next 60 days, we will provide you with financial support and so on. But you have to give us all your information. So all it required was a catastrophe, some catastrophic event. And people immediately said, I want help from FEMA, from some type of government agency to help me. What do you think is going to happen when the rapture takes place? And billions of people from every nation around the world suddenly disappear. Airplanes will crash. Trains will crash. Cars will crash on the freeway. You talk about a major pileup. Surgeons will disappear. Nurses will disappear. Teachers, children. Children will disappear naturally because they're going to go in the rapture anyway. All right? So worldwide catastrophic event. People will be screaming screaming, and there will be very few people to help because some of those first responders, many of them, would be gone. So what is going to happen then is there's going to be an immediate FEMA response, and every nation will respond, and they will come together globally because it will be a global thing. And they will use the global companies, the internet, the Googles of this world, the Amazons of this world, and I'll get to that. My time is up already. I will get to that next week, and I will show you, you know, how they will be playing a major role in this. But what will happen is if there's any internet that's up, people will be simply asked to register to obtain assistance from FEMA. Many governments will shut down and will not be able to operate at all because they would lose some of their voting people, you know, out of Congress or whatever. It seems like the American government doesn't need the rapture for it not to operate. But there's going to be hacking and looting. Have you ever seen a riot? Have you ever seen what happens, Ferguson? There's hacking that takes place. There's looting. How many in September? You know, in September, Equifax was hacked. 143 billion Americans had their personal IDs, driver's license, social security numbers, addresses, everything was seized through this hack. How many of you have had your credit card hacked this year? See, how many have had to change it? My hand is up. How many have had it happen twice this year? And we thought we were so secure. So what will happen immediately after the rapture is that financial institutions around the world will suddenly be in a situation where they will have to shut down. Credit cards will have to shut down because they will not know who's gone, what's here, and so they will call for a census, and they will ask everybody to register because wouldn't you want to know if your family is around or if they disappeared, if the aliens get your family? They're going to have to sell a story. They're going to have to sell a story. And one of the stories is, look, we don't know when we're going to get hit again. So we need security. You've got to register. We've got to know where you are. We've got to give you a new ID number because all of the other IDs now are useless. And all the world has come together. We're going to give a brand new ID so that everybody around the world can be in unison with this. And also, they may think it's terrorism. So we have to protect ourselves against terrorism. So what will happen is that it will become essential for you to be authenticated. So you will probably, and I'm just imagining now, you will probably have to report to some government agency to be authenticated with your eyes, your hands, your blood, your DNA, something. And then you will receive a number that authenticates you. That number you will then use at your bank because your bank won't allow you to draw money because they won't know who you are. Banks would have shut down. Credit cards would have shut down. Everything will operate off this new authentication number, the new ID. And it will happen within days. Nobody's going to argue. Nobody's going to say, boy, that's the mark of the beast. I knew it was coming. Oh, no. Okay, I need to eat. There's a company, you might have seen this, called Three Square Marketing Company. They produce microchips. Roll the video. Whenever you want to go, you can leave.
All right, this is a really weird idea. Why did your company decide to do it?
Well, if you're a technology company, things like this are actually exciting. We don't look at it as being too weird. But when the opportunity presented itself, we initially decided to do it just because we thought it was, I don't know, I guess you could say cool, something different. We never expected, honestly, what happened since we did it. We didn't expect it to go like it did with all the media excitement and everything. We were just looking at it from a technology standpoint initially.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly caught my attention when you all did this. More than half of your employees decided to go ahead and get implanted with the chip. Why do you think they did this, and what about the people who didn't?
Well, I think they did it mainly because they were informed and told exactly what it can do and can't do and what it does do and doesn't do. And then they made the decision for themselves that the people that did decide to do it really were looking forward to a lot of the conveniences that it does bring to the everyday life.
You've got a microchip in your hand. You did decide to go ahead with it. Did it hurt? How's it feel? And what's it been like trying to use it?
I actually have two of them in my hand. I have one in each hand right here. And I guess being a technology company, one's for test and one's for production.
What does that mean? One's for test and one for production. Two sides of your company?
Well, anytime you develop technology, you've always got beta stuff that goes on, and I use the one in my right hand for beta purposes, and this other one is for production. But as far as it hurting, it feels like basically somebody stepping on your pinky toe with a dress shoe on. It really doesn't hurt at all.
Stepping on, does it feel like that all the time, or just when you first get it put in? Can you still tell it's there?
Just initially when it's put in, and it takes about 2 to 3 seconds to do. And then that night, if you ice it, pretty much by the next morning, you don't realize it's there.
Okay, so what happens in that company is that they don't use locks on the doors. People arrive and they simply wave their hand over the door and it opens because it's authenticated who you are. You go to your office and you wave your hand at your computer and the computer, good morning, hello, comes on. You go to the vending machine, and I'm just quoting from the extract of the information. You go to the vending machine, you want to buy something, the vending machine, you put your hand at the vending machine, it identifies you, and whatever you want, it gives you straight away, and it gets paid for in the company finances and that kind of stuff. So the question was asked, well, what happens when you leave the company? Do you take it out? They said, no, you can keep the chip. We'll just turn it off. Okay, so how does this work? How does this work? The Antichrist said you can't buy or sell without his mark, which means if you become a criminal element or you won't toe the line, I'll switch your chip off, and then you are ousted out of the public. You can't buy or sell, and we'll punish you for stepping out of line, because when that chip gets turned off, you're done. So a couple of other places that are using some of the things, Cost Cutter, located in Brunel University in London, they're allowing shoppers to use the fingerprint with the unique vein pattern to identify the people. There's 13,000 students, and they say that 3,000 students will already be signed up by November of this year. And the selling point to them is simply that it's easier for the students. You don't have to carry cash around with you or a credit card, and obviously it's very secure. SJ Rail, Swedish rail operator, they've started using microchips for a way of paying for your rail ticket. And currently in Sweden, there are estimated 20,000 people that have it already in their hands and are currently using it. DHS is using facial recognition for identification, international travel. China is also implementing facial recognition within its airports, along with most countries now using biometrics in passports, green cards, national ID, driver's license, etc. Jack Ma, if you don't know who he is, he heads up Alibaba in China, which is like an Amazon. It's a huge organization. They just sell everything in pallets. They don't sell it small. They sell it huge. And they're offering a smile to pay at KFC. They're working in conjunction. In other words, you go to KFC, you place your order, you get in front of a camera, and you smile at the camera, and it's paid for, provided they have your cell phone on record. So facial recognition, smile to pay. It's being done right now. Let me tell you what I got this week from the Hindu Business Line in Mumbai. I got it on the 21st of October. The Reserve Bank of India today said that biometric identity number, Aadhaar linkage with bank accounts is mandatory. So what is the biometric based authentication? The Aadhaar number and biometric information is submitted by the Aadhaar number holder. You have one of these numbers, and it is matched. When you do that, it's matched with the biometric information of the said holder, okay, with that which has been stored, the biometric information that is stored, get this, with the Central Identities Data Repository, that's CIDR. It may be fingerprints, it may be iris, whatever it is. There is a biometric modality that is used, and it's based on that information that the transaction takes place. So the purpose of the Aadhaar authentication, the purpose of, is to provide, listen carefully, a digital online identity platform so that the identity of the Aadhaar number holder can be validated instantly, anytime, anywhere. The government said this June had made the Aadhaar mandatory for opening bank accounts as well as for any financial transaction greater than 50,000 rupees, which is only $700. Now, existing bank holders, bank account holders, existing, have been asked to furnish the Aadhaar number that is used by the Unique Identification Authority of India. It's another organization. You have until December the 31st of this year to do it, failing which the account will cease to be operational. You lose all the money in the account. They'll take it from you. You have until the end of this year to get your identification biometrically approved, submitted to this particular authority, and then your bank account, tied to your bank account, and then you can continue to buy or sell. You see, it's just not going to arrive one morning when the door opens, say, hello, I'm the beast, take the mark or you can't buy or sell. It is happening right now as we approach this timeline. That's what I told you. You're going to see it happening. See, this system of control would allow whoever controls it virtually unlimited control of every aspect of society. And unwittingly, a turnkey system for the Antichrist to control the whole world. Have you seen the movie The Circle? Anybody? Movie The Circle? You might want to go and get it, rent it. Because you'll see an operation that looks like Google running the lives of people, completely controlling them. Anybody seen the TV show, Wisdom of the Crowd? Anybody seen that? And the Wisdom of the Crowd operates through everybody's cell phone. Every person becomes part of this organization. They look for people, you take a picture, you send it in, and their computer analyzes this person. So everybody's part of the police force. They're looking for criminals. Everybody in the world is going to hate Christians. And if they don't have the mark, photograph, zap, everybody will focus on you. There will be no place to hide. I'm out of time. I'll have to continue next week with this.